Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church on a nice sunny morning. I was getting a little tired of the clouds myself. I'd like to know if there are any first-time visitors. Okay. Now they've been here before, John. Miranda's grandparents are here with her today. Let's see. Like to know if there are any general announcements.
We'll call to the attention an important matter. The cleaning lady was here. She comes late on Saturday night. She was here sometime this morning. Not even sure what time, but she left a note. Some people came and beat on the door and tried to get her to open the door. I don't know if they even knew she was here or not. And they left. It was two men and a truck, or in a truck, so I thought that was a moving company. That's a joke. But and then they left, and they came back, and they beat on the door again. And she got very, after they left the second time, she left. If you're here, especially if you're women, when you come in, check the doors. Try to get them locked. You don't know who will come in and whatever. And so, please, 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 men also. And if you leave, if you're the last one to leave, try to lock the doors because they could walk off. People could. We've never lost anything but two guitars and a few pieces of sound equipment. And that's in 30 years. This is our 30th year. But it could happen tomorrow. So especially if you're here by yourself, even if I'm here, Sam's here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, we try to, if just one of us is here, we try to lock the doors. And we can let people in. We have doorbells, et cetera. And for y'all's safety, there's two or three doors that are really hard to get closed and locked. And but keep on trying till you do. Slam them hard. Thank you.
Are there any other general announcements? Okay. Then I have one. Mr. Bowers, I don't know where he went to, but he was supposed to do this. We are in need of Sunday school teachers. Okay? If you are interested, now these would be for the little ones. Ms. Bomar has been gracious enough to give us her time for the past several years, and I don't know exactly how many, but she is wanting to take a break. Now, we are in special need of something through first through fourth grade, and that's if we keep the teachers we already have. They will be divided up. The children will be divided up depending on how many teachers we have. We know that Sunday school has been a little lax for some of that age group. They are dependent on their parents. But the Christian Education Committee is making a special plea for teachers. The new semester, if you'd like to call it that, would start in June. We would like for you, if you are even halfway interested, to talk to one of the Christian Education Committee members. That would be myself, Sally Turco, or Jerry Bowers, or the old committee. We have some new members that have not attended a meeting yet, but we would certainly like for you, if you are interested in being a teacher, to let us know. It can be very rewarding. I've done it before, but I guess, for lack of saying a better word, some of us sometimes feel burned out on doing it for many, many years. So we need to pray about this, and we do need some teachers. We have several children that are in that age group of kindergarten through fourth grade, and that we would like to make two classes if we could. So please, if you have any interest at all, please let us know. Are there any other general announcements?
Wow. Worship on Wednesday. We'd like to invite everybody to Wednesday night dinner.
Okay, are there any other general announcements? If not, we'll move on to prayer requests or praise requests or any praises we have.
Ms. May Puckett, Ed Whitmer's mother-in-law, had a massive heart attack Monday, still in the hospital, very sick. Miss Peggy Whittable, no kin to Jim and Jim and Joy that we know of, but she passed away. Her funeral will be at Water Chapel this afternoon at 2. Mr. Whittemore is an old friend and attended church here a long number of years ago, but Peggy Whittemore's family. Mike Bryan fell and fell off of a ladder, cutting a tree. Too many details, I guess.
He dislocated his shoulder.
Plus other stuff.
Yeah. That's right. So this is twice since Thanksgiving that both of them have been in the same boat, so to speak.
He couldn't let her get ahead of
him. That's right.
What I told
him. Yeah, Mel. Are there any others? Oh, Jonah.
Jennifer just said, so I will. Jennifer, Thompson Creek, she's just dealing with some pain that kind of built right over into her life. So we need to pray that she gets healed.
Okay. Are there any others? I don't want to miss anybody. Yeah. Oh, good. Are there any others? Yeah, Harold. Are there any others? If not, let us pause for a moment while we prepare our minds for worship. If you'll all stand with me and follow along with our call to worship that is in the bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
God says to everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and those that have no money, come buy and eat.
God invites us, saying, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price.
Incline your ear to the Lord and come to Him. Listen that you may live.
We will seek the Lord while He may be found. We will call upon Him while He is near.
Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let the Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen.
The song is on the screen. Secondary. You're great, oh God. You're wonderful.
your majesty. You have called your humble creation, creatures, to come and worship you. So we come to make that effort. Thank you for inviting. And we thank you in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
It's now time to make our statement of faith with the Apostles' Creed. That's either on the screen behind me or you can find it in your hymnal on page 716. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into Hades. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sat up on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Call to confession this morning is from taken from 2 Chronicles. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our prayer of confession is in unison if you would like to follow along. God of our ancestors, we confess that we can become so obsessed with all that is new. We ignore the past, which is filled with wisdom. We prefer to wander down streets to all places we know so well. Yet we are reluctant to be led by your Spirit into unfamiliar neighborhoods. We sometimes are in such a hurry to get the heart's desires that we stumble past the grace you are longing to give us. Hear our hearts and see our brokenness. God of our days, and forgive us. We may grow in the trust of you rather than continuing to test you. Gather us up and bring us into the presence of Jesus Christ, our servant, our Savior, that we may follow him to Jerusalem and beyond, into the place of hope and peace you are giving us. Amen. Our words of assurance. This is our good news, hearing our prayers and our silence. God forgives us. God is giving to us a marvelous inheritance, hope and grace, peace and joy.
On our lips are cries of gratitude. In our hearts is trust in the one who loves us. Thanks be to God. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Sentence this morning. Life, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. If the ushers will please come forward.
Go to God in prayer.
Lord, we thank you so much that we have the opportunity to give. So grateful that we're a part of your family, that you've invited us, you've saved us, and you've taught us that everything that we think is ours is yours anyway. And yet you really only ask for a small part of that. And it just, I pray that your will, your message will go out, and that the funds that we give to you will be used for that end, to reach out to others. If it's just feeding somebody who's hungry, or if it's, you know, buying materials, Bibles that we can give to someone who needs to hear about you. And so it's a privilege and an honor, Lord, to give to you. And we thank you for your amazing sacrifice of your Son. And it's, our gifts are no comparison to that. But we thank you for the new hearts, the new attitudes about giving that you've given us. And our small way of, you know, admitting to you that our material possessions are ours because you gave them to us in the first place. And, I pray that your will be done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Something that I didn't plan to say this, but there was a little talk this morning about, you know, how I know Larry's talking about the church, and really it's our family. And Vince and I were talking this morning about how this church really operates like a family, good, bad, and ugly, you know. But I was thinking about the distraction. Sometimes our equipment, like earlier, we had feedback on that mic or a pop or something, and we don't always know what it is. And it doesn't distract me that much, but I know it distracts some of y'all. And then I'll hear a crying baby, which doesn't really distract me, or somebody coughing in the winter. Usually you got 40 people coughing. But I got to thinking that sometimes worrying about it is as much a distraction to me as maybe the noise. And that hurts me a little bit. I want to just come and worship and not worry. And you may never know how much the Hatfields appreciate this family, this body. It really is like a family. So I just pray for everybody that when, you know, say a kid starts crying or something, or the mics do what they do sometimes, that we remember we're just here to praise God and what a great opportunity that is. And here's something that the church can also do, is tell people about Jesus so they can join us and fill these front rows. I'm not sure who's supposed to be there, but I bet there's somebody who's supposed to be in those front chairs. How then shall we call on him who have not? they have not heard, how will they hear if we don't preach? You know we must go into all the world and preach on Jesus' name. And whosoever calls on Him shall be, they shall be saved. We were once the captives of sin. Now we're free and unafraid. We can boldly share Jesus with the lost. The Spirit will tell us what to say. You know we must go into all the world and preach on Jesus' name. And whosoever calls on Him shall be, they shall be saved. We must go into all the world and preach on Jesus' name. And whosoever calls on Him shall be, they shall be saved.
It's children's time with Miss Andrea. If all the children will please come up. And then we have children's church with Miss Jennifer.
Good morning. Oh, is that really loud? Do I need to? Okay. Okay, let's do this. How's that? Is that better?
Yeah.
Feel too loud?
Yeah.
We're okay.
Okay.
Our found man had soldier.
How about if I do this?
Shoulder surgery also.
How's that? Is that better? Am
okay.
I?
Okay. That'll work.
Okay. All right. Ooh, I feel like I'm echoing my own head here. You know how we've had all this cold, snowy weather and everything? The ground's been really frozen hard, you know, which is okay, especially up at the barn, because up at our barn, when it starts thawing, it gets really muddy, you know. And I have mud boots, and I wear them to the barn because I definitely need them. There are times when I think it's gonna pull my boots off. Horses have a tendency to make a muddy mess sometimes, but I have one horse that hates mud. Tuffy just absolutely hates mud. You know Tuffy. And there's a small gate that he has to come through to get to his feed and the water trough. And it got really, really muddy in that when things started falling. And Tuffy would stand over there like he didn't know where his feed bucket was. You know, he just up and down the fence. So he didn't want to walk through the mud. He hates to get his feet muddy. So he started jumping through the gate, which is only barely wide enough for him to walk through anyway. And I thought, well, that's great. He's going to knock his hip off or something, you know. So I went and got some plastic feed sacks that I had saved out of the feed room and made him a bridge through the gate. Now, they're white, these white feed sacks. You'd think he'd be scared death to walk on these plastic white feed sacks. But he wasn't, because it built him a bridge, and he didn't have to get his feet muddy. So he could walk through the gate, because he trusts me. He knows I'm not going to do anything to hurt him. So I laid this down, made him a bridge, and he was happy. He could walk through just nice and gentle over to get his feet in water with no mud on his feet. And I started thinking about how that's why Jesus is the bridge for us. Jesus is definitely a bridge for us. And we, you know, when we do sin, and we do, we have a bridge. We have a bridge to the Father, and He came to us, and He died on the cross for us, and we're getting ready to go into the Easter season. You know, we have Ash Wednesday this week, and I want us to remember that. We have a bridge over those sins. We have a bridge, thank goodness, because we can't do it on our own, and we can't keep those laws. You read in the Old Testament all those laws and things, oh, I'm so glad He came, because there's no way we could hold up to that. So let's remember that we have a bridge. We have a bridge, and let's don't forget that. But let's remember, as we're telling people about that bridge, not to forget to point them to the bridge, and that's Jesus Christ.
Our scripture lessons this morning are from Matthew, Ephesians, Colossians, and 1 Timothy. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you?" He asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be lost in heaven." Then He warned His disciples not to tell anyone that He was the Christ. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he who feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of His body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. If I am delayed, you will know people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of truth. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You could turn to 277.
Mid toil and tribulation. Churches, it seems to always be going through toils and tribulations. If you ever find the church at rest, it won't last. That's one phrase in there, because tomorrow, or maybe before that day's over, something will happen to, it won't be at rest. The church. What do you think about the church? Go to church. Well, you are the church. Oh no, we've got to go to church again. You ever heard that one? We're always going to church. Our girls grew up church, church, church. Somewhere along the way, we let them skip Wednesday night church. But when they got grown, they did stay with the church so far. The church. What do you think about the church? What does the church mean to you? Well, whatever it means to you, it means a whole lot to Jesus. The church. Even this church. Yeah. We're a part of the body of Christ. What do you think of the church? Somebody wrote a book talking about young people. I'm not sure what age. I read part of the book, glanced through it, I guess. They like Jesus, but not the church. Well, I can understand why. People have acted a certain way in the church that causes people to not be too, think too favorable of it. But it's the body of Christ. It's not perfect. It's not perfect. But who else would have told us about Jesus and salvation through Him? Who else would have told us about heaven? Maybe our parents. Mine wouldn't have. They didn't know about it. They lived on the other side of society. Oh, they had gone to church a little bit through the years, but we didn't talk about God or church unless we was criticizing the church around our house growing up. Thank you, Lord, that you got me through that. The church. What do you think about the church? We are the church. You who are here today, make it up this congregation. If you're a believer in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, not just simply believing that He lived as a historical figure, not even believing that He's the Son of God. James says that the demons believe and tremble. They believe in Him, but they won't serve Him. They won't trust Him as their Savior. We who trust Jesus as Savior, you who trust Jesus as Savior, we make up the church. The church, that word is used many times in the Bible. I've got on the internet, there's a program called Bible Gateway. You may have another program, Quick Verse or something like that. There's Quicken for Money. There's Quick Books for keeping up with your books. Well, there's Quick Verse for looking up the Bible. But I go to Bible Gateway. Often they have about 8 or 10 or 12, maybe more. I'm not sure how many versions of the Scripture in English. And then they have some versions in other language. And I typed in the church. And it happened to be on King James Version. And it says, display those verses that have the church in it. 111 showed up. I believe they're all in the New Testament. I said, well, what does the New International Version say? Do they correspond? For some reason, I wanted to read some verses out of the New International Version. That's one I use the most often. And I put in New International Version show the ones, and it showed 112. Now, what I was tempted to do, but time slips by. Y'all know it when you're listening to me. I know it when I'm preaching, but even time just gets away in the week. What else did I do? You don't want to know. That would be a big rabbit trail. But anyhow, I thought about printing the King James Version of all the missions of church and then printing all of the NIV. But I went to another version. I think it was New American Standard. I'm not sure what it was. All you got to do is just type that word in or click on that one and do that. Like 134 times the word church was used. And I did not compare what verse or what word they changed from something else to church or what the King James or the New International Version left out. But the church is mentioned often in the Bible. Jesus said, I will build my church. That tells us that the church belongs to Jesus, no matter what we think. I heard the other day, even this week, can't remember where it came from, that people were developing a new church in kind of a network of churches, and they all wanted to be called My Church. So the people in the congregation could say, yeah, come on down to My Church. Well, it's not their church. It's not their church. It's God's church. I think I've told it before, but had a friend in college whose father was a preacher, and they'd be driving around somewhere, and he was a
he was a college professor also, and the girl would say, when she was a little girl, she'd say, "Oh, that's preacher so-and-so's church." And Daddy would say, "No, no, Judy, it's not preacher so-and-so's church. It's God's church where," and named the preacher, "where they preach." So it's God's church, Jesus' church. Jesus said, "I will establish my church." So if we ever forget that it's God's church, we've forgotten too much. It belongs to Him. We're just part of it. We make up the body. He is the head. He is in charge. We are privileged to live under His headship, His lordship. He is head of the church. He is Lord of the church. A congregation of believers in Jesus make up a local church. A local church. The church is the people, not the building. How many times have you heard that? Don't forget that. We go down to the church house. The house or the building where the church meets, where we meet together as a church. We're not really a church till we come together, except the church sometime is dispersed, and we're supposed to be dispersed out into the world and share the gospel, share the good news of Jesus, share Jesus with the world. Church is being broken down into the visible church and the invisible church. The visible church being those people, those believers, those trusting in Jesus for salvation, serving Him as He is their Lord and they're His subjects, those who have united with a local church. Some churches, some local churches don't even have a membership role. So I asked the pastor of one of those churches once, I said, "Where do you members? Who's counted members?" He said, "Well, those that just start coming and come regular." Now, how many Sundays do you have to attend that church before you're a member? I don't know. If they're going to vote on building a building, boy, you could gather a lot of people in. "I'm here the first Sunday, but I think y'all ought to build a building," and then we never see them again. That could be tough, couldn't it? The official members who are believers, however membership is. And then there's the invisible church. Now, that's all believers. Everybody who is trusting in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They may be a member of the church officially, or they may not. A local church. Now, I know a lot of people in this community or in our history here, they are officially on the roll of this church, but they're invisible. I don't find them. They have chosen to not show up, at least gather with the rest of the congregation. A few years ago, we were trying to clean up our church roll. That's, I guess, preacher talk or elder talk. So we're supposed to check with the people and see, have you joined another church, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. "No, we haven't joined one. Are you attending church anywhere?" "No, we're not attending anywhere." "What about your name on the roll?" "Oh, just keep us on there." Okay, they wanted, I guess that's for burying and marrying purposes. Baptism, what was it? BBM members. Burying, baptizing, and marrying. Does that sound good? Kind of like Egg and Holly Christians, you know, Easter and Christmas. And just glad they come when they do. But I hope they don't wait for the burial to come to church. Story about some woman wanted her husband to be, true story, I was told that, wanted her husband to be brought into the church for his funeral. And the preacher said, "But he never would darken the door." She said, "Yeah, but I'm going to bury him there anyway." She had him brought in against his wishes, and he couldn't even kick and scream then. He was in the box, see. Anyhow, so there's visible official members who are believers, and hopefully they're active. And then they're invisible. All believers in Jesus, for some reason, haven't become an official part of the church. The church. A confessional statement for Cumberland Presbyterians. There is one church. There is one holy, universal, apostolic church. And she is the bride of Christ. It'd be a she, right? She is the body of Christ. And Christ is the head of the church. And He is Lord over the church, if it's the true church. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. Think about that. The Apostle Paul talked or wrote a great deal about the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12. I often quote and try to remember and often get it confused, the first three verses of Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, our bodies, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then I kind of get to thinking, am I doing it right, and get lost there. But let's move to verse 4. Romans 12, verse 4. Just as each of us has one body with many members. That's all we got. We got one body, right? Better take care of this body. We've only got one. How often do we hear it? Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. I've got some fingers, they do one thing. I've got some toes, they do another thing. I've got some feet, they do something else. I've got a heart, it does something else. I've got an ear, it does something else. I've got a mouth, it does something else. I've got some teeth, they do something else. All various members. John does one thing. Charles does something else. Laura does something else. Or Jean, Laura. John does something else. Man, I wish I could do it. I don't know if I didn't have the talent or wouldn't do the practice. I never got that guitar when I was a boy. I wanted one and I forgot what I got. It wasn't a guitar though. Even from Sears Roebuck. And different people in the church do different things, but Christ is the head. Appointed, all have, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, the members of the body, the physical body, don't have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We're connected. We're connected. I'm connected to you, like it or not. We're connected to other churches. We're connected to all Cumberland Presbyterian churches by an official connection. But we're connected to all other churches, all other Christians. We don't do it officially. And whether they like us or not, we're connected with them. Some of them draw a circle and leave us out. But we draw a larger circle and take them in. We're all connected. If we're believers in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're all connected. And they can kick and scream all they want to, but God smiles down on us and says, I love you too. Whether they want you to love you or not, He loves us as He loves them. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian letter. And he says in Ephesians 1, God placed all things under His feet. Jesus' feet. Jesus is the head. We're under His feet. And appointed Him to be head over everything for the church. If Jesus is not our head, if we're not looking to Him for leadership and guidance, we're wrong. We need to get it right. Appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body. We make up His body in the world today. The fullness of Him who fills everything and everywhere, in every way. And then we back to Matthew 16. Jesus says, I will build my church. So it's not the people's church. It's not my church. It's not their church. It's not Uncle John's church. It's Jesus' church. Jesus says, I will build my church. And one thing we need to understand and never forget is that the church belongs to Jesus. And Jesus and God being two persons of the Trinity, one God. Okay. Matthew 28, verse 18 and following. Jesus says he has been given authority, all authority in heaven and earth. Think of the authority that's being spoken, being claimed right now. I'm in charge. Every once in a while, I'd say to the girls, I'm in charge, girls. You're not in charge yet. Well, that little household. Went to a preacher's building one day, looking around, and if I'm repeating myself, maybe somebody didn't hear it, so maybe it's important for them. So somebody said, who makes these decisions around here? Who's in charge? And a bunch of preachers were there, and just the preacher host there said, oh, I'm the ultimate authority. And then he must have thought a minute. I guess he knew some of us were questioning that, but we were on his ground, so we didn't question it too loudly. And finally he said, at this place. I'm the ultimate authority at this place. And I thought it was kind of funny. He made the decisions, color of carpet and all that crap, because it was a color that I would not have chosen. I was trying to find out who had such bad taste. No, no. He said, I'm the ultimate authority here. Well, he said, at this place. Jesus had maybe appointed him to be ultimate authority there. Anyhow, Jesus has been given all authority by God himself, as the Son being given authority from the Father, all authority in heaven and earth. You know, our president has authority to make presidential proclamations. I don't think that's executive orders, I believe it is. Congress has authority to do this. Somebody else has authority to do that. But Jesus has authority over all of us. And don't ever forget it. For your sake and for my sake. I can't ever forget it. Okay. And with that authority, he instructed the disciples that were with him, and it really comes down to us, to go and make more disciples and more disciples and more disciples. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up unto him who is the head, or that who is in authority, who is the authority, that is Christ. Ephesians 5:23. Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. The church is the body of Christ. The church is one. We're all in this together. And if some people don't want us to be in it with them, that's their problem. They need to go talk to God about it. They think they've got a word, but I'm going to question that. They don't have the last word. Believers in Jesus Christ, those who are trusting in him, we are the church, and Jesus is our head. And we can fight among ourselves as much as we want to, as much as we can stand. And Jesus just shakes his head and says, oh, my people, when will my people come to their senses and confess their sins, humble themselves, and seek my face where I can forgive their sin and heal their land? The church is holy. Holy doesn't mean perfect in this sense, but we're set apart. We're set apart. The church, she, the bride of Christ, is founded upon the finished and continuing work of Jesus Christ. And Jesus set us apart for the glory of God and the witness of Jesus into the world. Our holiness is not based on any one person's personal holiness, but on God's holiness and God's sanctifying power. Jesus was praying. John chapter 17. The whole chapter of John is, we call it the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And he prays about himself and God the Father and his work here. And he prays about those disciples. And then he prays for those who are come after him. Or he is praying for you and I. There in John chapter 17. Those who will become believers because of the witness of those apostles. And he says about the apostles, he says, sanctify them by the truth. Set them apart with your truth, O God, O Father. Your word is truth. And then he says, as you sent me into the world, Jesus was in heaven with God, and God sent him to the world to die for the sin of mankind and to live before man, to be buried, to be raised to new life, to ascend back to heaven. He said, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And then in verse 20 of John chapter 17, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. We're believing in Jesus because of the message of those disciples later called apostles. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And he goes on in John chapter 17. So the church is one. The church is holy. The church is universal. You know, there's some men out of this world. Jesus talked about the world, for God so loving the world. But there's some men out of this world. They're up in a space station. If they're believers, they're part of the church. When are they getting back? Maybe they've already returned. That's not news anymore, but they did some finishing up and closing the door and left sometime this week. Other news probably took over. God's act of salvation in Jesus Christ is universal and never limited by any place or any time. This universal nature of this God's salvation rests upon the universal activity of God's Holy Spirit to make the atonement of Christ effective for all people. And it's expressed in the commission that Jesus gave us to go into all the world to make disciples. You know, somewhere I learned, I can't remember where, but it seemed like it was a passing moment, maybe a rabbit trail in a seminary class somewhere. But I learned that when the Israelites of old, when they would move, they would feel if they left the land, they had left God, that God was confined to that land, that he was limited by space in that time. And some of us want to talk about now, oh, God was so real back in another time. Well, God is real now. If we don't feel as close to God as we did once, we don't feel God is as real, it's not that he's changed. He is unchanging. Hold to God's unchanging hand. And we're the ones, if we don't feel as close, who have moved. But once the Israelites had the idea that that God's presence was connected to the land. So when they moved away from the Holy Land, they would get a tub or a bucket of soil and take with them. And we think, how silly that is. And it is silly. But they had this thinking, because God had blessed them in Abraham and placed Abraham in this land, and then when they were in Egypt, they had a tough time worshiping God. They were always getting back to this land. So when they would leave, they would take some land or some dirt with them. I don't know how much they would take, maybe a small box, but I always thought it was about a tub full. Number 3 wash tub, at least the number 2. Don't know, can't validate this, but can't go back and find it now, and that professor is probably dead now. But anyhow, that was my understanding. But God is not limited to where the dirt is. He says in Matthew 8:11, I say to you that many will come from east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And then in Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus said, I've been given all authority, and I'm telling you to go and make disciples in the name of the Father of all nations, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them what I've taught you. John 3:16. Can we get away from it? If we do, something's wrong with us. For God so loved the world. maybe could we change a jot or a tittle and not be in too much danger? And say, for God so made the universe that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Jesus Christ. The song, Ted talked about the family of God. I didn't know what he might be going to sing, the family of God. But I think it's 282 in your hymnal, and it's just a chorus, and we're not going to sing it, so don't turn there. But it says, I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. He's talking about the church. The Gaithers wrote this. I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. And that's my feeling about the church. Warts and all. Warts and all. I've told this one before some places, and maybe hear it again. Oliver Cromwell, a British person, it said that he was a soldier and a statesman, and he helped bring England into being a republic. And then he ruled as what they call Lord Protector, whatever that was. It wasn't king, but it was Lord Protector for 5 years, 1653 to 1658. And Mr. Lely, L-E-L-Y, was going to paint his picture. You know, they didn't have cameras back then, believe it or not. Mr. Lely was going to paint his picture. And evidently, Cromwell wasn't a handsome man. And here's what's attributed to him. Mr. Lely, I desire you would use all of your skill to paint my picture truly like me, and not flatter me at all, but remark all these roughnesses, pimples, warts, and everything as you see me. Otherwise, I will never pay you a farthing for it. No, if you don't paint it just like I am, you're not going to get paid. Well, the church, sometimes we want to gloss it over. Sometimes we want to talk about how glorious it is. Got a lot of warts. It's got a lot of warts. I've been warty myself. Yeah. But I'm a part of the church. I know some that are more warty than me, I think, but they think I'm more warty than they are, so that's okay. Yeah, the church, I love it. Warts and all. The local church. The church universal. Let's sing together about the church. Rise up, O church of God. 293, verse 1 and 4. 293, verse 1 and 4. Rise up, O church of God. And let's rise up as we sing this one. Verse 1 and 4.